Welcome to the Gum Guru Podcast. Thank you so much for being here with us. I'm Jason Kong here with Dr. Macon Singletary, and today we are discussing five unusual oral conditions you may never have heard of. I'm really intrigued by this, Dr. Singletary. First off, everything good?
Everything's great. We're doing better than we deserve, as you know.
That's what I like to hear. All right, let's get to some of these unusual oral conditions. I mean, I'm very intrigued. I want to hear about this.
Well, I think one of them could be our mouths or some, we live with it. And there's things in there that we just really don't pay attention to. And I'll have patients come in and I'll do a head and neck exam and I'll feel on the floor of the mouth and there's little knots of bone on the inside the lower jawbone under the tongue. They're called tori or osteomas. And they'll go, wow, I didn't know I had that. They could be as small as my tip of my pinky finger or as big as my thumb. My mother-in-law had hers big as my thumbs. And what do you do about them? They're benign. Why are they there? Usually it's from clenching or grinding. It's called the piezoelectric effect. It's a $4 word in Durham. but when you clench or grind, the jaw flexes, and where it flexes, there's electron firing. It stimulates bone-making cells to make bone. Orthopedic surgeons use it with their boots and to help broken ankles and things to speed up the healing. But it's the same concept. You can have them in the roof of your mouth, called tori palatini. Do they need to be removed? Not necessarily, unless they get too big. My mother-in-law wanted hers removed, and I said, well, I'm going to send you to an oral surgeon. She says, no, if you can't do it, nobody's going to do it. She still talks to me. So that's one. Another one would be, you may not, again, might not be aware of it, but inside your mouth, the epithelium may slough a little bit, and you just notice that there's an autoimmune phenomenon called lichen planus, and it's pretty, it's not rare. I see it often. It's nothing to really be concerned about. I've been doing this a long time, and I've seen lichen planus over the years. It's just your body reacting to the layer of attachment with the epithelium to the connective tissue below it. The tacks that hold the epithelium down. The body attacks those tacks, and the epithelium sloughs. And it may look quite streaky. That's an early manifestation of it. It can be red and white. Now, if it gets to be red and white and irritated, it needs to be really looked at. Either case, it needs to be identified. So when an individual is doing an oral exam, when I do an oral exam, I check that and see. And if there's that phenomena there, I advise the patient. It doesn't necessarily mean a biopsy should be done, but it can involve other mucous membrane areas. And so to identify it, it's a good thing. Some people say, well, I didn't know I had that. And, you know, it's good to make them aware of it. There's certain things that aggravate it, cinnamon, chocolate, nuts, and certain toothpaste. And so, you know, to identify that, it's a good thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Being more aware of it helps us all. These are great. All right, we've covered two so far. What's number three on your list?
All right, called mucociliary. Mucociliary are fluid-filled sac, usually minor salivary glands in the mouth. If you get one under the tongue, it can be pretty big, and they're called ranulas, which is, I think it's Latin for frog belly. But it's about, can be the size of your thumb, and they can pop, they can and the fluid goes out of it and it can fill back up again. If there's on the lip, sometimes it can be disfiguring and it doesn't necessarily go away. And so what we do is remove it. It's like a sack, and we can use the laser but eventually it may be something that needs to be addressed. But they're benign, and again, it's a fluid-filled sac that it's like a mucous membrane, a mucoprotein kind of material.
Yeah, so that's something that we don't need to be too afraid of, but we can have that addressed pretty easily. All right, let's get to number four.
Well, some of these people may not be aware of them. Is aphthous ulcers, fever blisters, and cold sores. People are probably aware of them. What's the difference between a fever blister and a cold sore? A fever blister generally is a herpetic phenomena. usually herpes virus can be on the lip, can be, it's on a keratinized or thick tissue like the palate. That's a herpetic lesion. And that's, it can be, you can get it from drinking after somebody. Once somebody has a blister, that's a pretty contagious point in time that you want to avoid contact with individuals. And generally on your lip, it looks like an ulcer. It'll eventually go away. The viral particles are sort of interesting. They're little parasites. Once they enter and the immune system starts to react to it, they go up the ganglia up into your brain and lay dormant. And then stress, sunlight, they come back down the nerve ganglia out and the nerve axon into the tissue where it initially came in, and you get another blister. And that's, you know, Zovirax is something that can be used to treat it. Sometimes it's just palliative lysine is amino acid. It'll help shorten the exposure to it. The other one inside the cheek or under the tongue are aphthous ulcers, another autoimmune immune phenomena. Again, it's benign, but it's something that is very painful. It takes 2 weeks to heal. Fever blister the same way. But under your tongue, you know, you make an individual, sometimes they, generally they feel it and are aware of it. Sometimes they come in and there's an ulcer under the tongue and I'm doing the exam and say, you got an aphthous ulcer. And so I didn't know I had that. That's rare because they are painful. They get secondarily infected. Sometimes I have to put them on antibiotic, but salt water rinses are good for that. So another one is really sort of strange that people don't understand is if you stick your tongue out, look at your tongue, you have the taste buds. You got the small ones, you got the big ones in the back of the tongue, and it should look uniform. Sometimes the epithelium of the tongue looks flat. It's called geographic tongue. If you look at it, it looks like a map. That geographic tongue is a benign phenomenon. There's nothing you can do about it, but it's just something that's there that people don't realize that, oh, okay, you know, it's just it could be a genetic phenomenon. Generally, there may be a history of it in somebody's family, but it's nothing that needs to be done about that.
Well, that's comforting to know that it's nothing that it's too serious. So I feel like we've covered a lot of ground with these unusual oral conditions. For folks who are worried about any of this or maybe are interested in an action step, what would that be?
Well, obviously, anything that's uncomfortable in your mouth, you get it evaluated. But look, I mean, until I went to dental school, the last thing I was doing was checking my mouth out. You know, it's like your toes. You know, you don't look at your toes too often. At least men don't. I don't know. But, you know, be aware of what's going on. And if there's an irritation, there's a reason for it, and it should be addressed. So have it looked at.
Yeah, and some of these, you know, may be found with an exam by a professional. Is there anything that we can do on our end? You know, should we be feeling our gums? Should we be probing around? Or is that something that should leave to you guys?
Yeah, good question. When you brush and floss, it shouldn't hurt. When you chew, it shouldn't hurt. If it's hurting, that's not normal. You should be... You like you and I are talking, there's nothing in that I'm aware of. And if you're aware of something, you should get evaluated.
That's a really good piece of advice. So if you're in that situation, go ahead and get a hold of the folks at North Raleigh Periodontics and get that examined. See if we can figure out why that's happening to you, because that should be something that you don't want to have to deal with. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of The Gum Guru. Thank you so much for listening.
If you would like to know more about ways to make sure your smile is healthy or more information on any of the treatments in today's discussion, check out their website at northraleighperio.com. If you have other questions you'd like to have answered on the Gum Guru podcast, send them to contact@northraleighperio.com.